It is good to be back again. You know, we, Emily and I, we had a really good trip, even though a little bit tired. We pray that 10% of those attend my seminar will go as a full-time missionary eventually. So we have 208 people came to the four seminaries and one church, in three different languages, Chinese, Cantonese, and English. So it was a mess because all my material was in Chinese only. But anyway, one of the seminar was a little bit scary because something happened before the seminar start. So a lot of people were wondering if it is safe. So I went with another one to the Bible seminary, conduct the workshop, and then just close everywhere, lock it, and no one can come in, and check everyone if they come to attend the seminar workshop. Because just a few weeks before that, something similar happened, that someone reported to the police, and the police came with a lot of other people, caused a lot of problems. That's in Malaysia. It's very sensitive. So we arrived home maybe at 1 hour to 1 hour, 1.5 hour late. So Emily and the family were so excited, so worried about whether they are in the police, somewhere arrested. So they pray very hard that when they saw us come back, they're so pleased that everything okay. It's a very sensitive issue in many parts of the world when we talk about reaching the Muslim. But, you know, I can see a lot of people show up. That means God is working in many people's hearts. I'm very pleased with this church. We have a lot of missionaries, you know, candidate going to be missionary or already be to the field, and then are here now. And then Ruth is going, and then next week we have a mission conference for the weekend. So I'm very excited. I just want to share a verse with you this morning. It's on the bulletin. You can read together with me. Revelation chapter 5 verse 9. This is not the whole verse print on the bulletin, but let's read whatever we print on the bulletin together. Let's read it together. Because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nations. When I read this verse, I ask myself, what is the most important thing for Jesus that he is willing to died for? What is the most important thing for Jesus that he is willing to, you know, just died, you know, try to purchase it even with his own very, you know, very own blood? There is something that struck me, because as Christian we need to tune our value system, value with what Jesus is thinking. Once we can tune exactly as Jesus thinks, then we are closer to be a real Christian. When I say real Christian, you know, understand God and follow him. So when I meditate on this word, Jesus, he was slain, and with his blood he purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. I ask myself, how many Christians take it seriously, saying that, yes, this is what Jesus is saying and must be true, and I would like to do the same? How many people, how many Christians, we are willing to do this? I thank God, because this is quite a mission-minded church. You know, we have a lot of people, we love God, we would like to commit ourselves for world mission. Let's, you know, continue on. Let's continue on. So, I would like to show you a video clip. I took this from the YouTube. Maybe some of you have seen 7 minutes, and then when you watch it, and then you just share with me one thing. What do you find? What do you feel about the video? Then I will share with you another story from Malaysia. It was just, you know, very hard for us to understand. I mean, to to just think about what is happening in the real world. Okay, let's watch the video, and then we'll see. I mean, the screen is a little bit too small. The original, the image is bigger than the screen. So I hope you can get it. It's in English. 7 minutes already.
For a culture to maintain itself for more than 25 years, there must be a fertility rate of 2.11 children per family. With anything less, the culture will decline. Historically, no culture has ever reversed a 1.9 fertility rate. A rate of 1.3, impossible to reverse, because it would take 80 to 100 years to correct itself, and there is no economic model that can sustain a culture during that time. In other words, if two sets of parents each have one child, there are half as many children as parents. If those children have one child, then there are one-fourth as many grandchildren as grandparents. If only 1 million babies are born in 2006, it's hard to have 2 million adults enter the workforce in 2026. As the population shrinks, so does the culture. As of 2007, the fertility rate in France was 1.8, England 1.6, Greece 1.3, Germany 1.3, Italy 1.2, Spain 1.1. Across the entire European Union of 31 countries, the fertility is a mere 1.38. Historical research tells us these numbers are impossible to reverse. In a matter of years, Europe, as we know it, will cease to exist. Yet the population of Europe is not declining. Why? Immigration. Islamic immigration. Of all population growth in Europe since 1990, 90% has been Islamic immigration. France, 1.8 children per family. Muslims, 8.1. In southern France, traditionally one of the most populated church regions in the world, there are now more mosques than churches. 30% of children ages 20 and younger are Islamic. In the larger cities such as Nice, Marseille, and Paris, that number has grown to 45%. By 2027, 1 in 5 Frenchmen will be Muslim. In just 39 years, France will be an Islamic republic. In the last 30 years, the Muslim population of Great Britain rose from 82,000 to 2.5 million, a 30-fold increase. There are over 1,000 mosques, many of them former churches. In the Netherlands, 50% of all newborns are Muslim, and in only 15 years, half of the population of the Netherlands will be Muslim. In Russia, there are over 23 million Muslims. That's 1 out of 5 Russians. 40% of the entire Russian army will be Islamic in just a few short years. Currently in Belgium, 25% of the population and 50% of all newborns are Muslim. The government of Belgium has stated 1/3 of all European children will be born to Muslim families by 2025, just 17 years away. The German government, the first to talk about this publicly, recently released a statement saying, "The fall in the German population can no longer be stopped. Its downward spiral is no longer reversible. It will be a Muslim state by the year 2050. Muammar al-Gaddafi of Libya said, "There are signs that Allah will grant victory to Islam in Europe, without swords, without guns, without conquest. We don't need terrorists. We don't need homicide bombers. The 50-plus million Muslims in Europe will turn it into a Muslim continent within a few decades." There are currently 52 million Muslims in Europe. The German government said that number is expected to double in the next 20 years to 104 million. Closer to home, the numbers tell a similar story. Right now, Canada's fertility rate is 1.6, nearly a full point below what is required to sustain a culture. And Islam is now the fastest growing religion. Between 2001 and 2006, Canada's population increased by 1.6 million, 1.2 of those immigration. In the United States, the current fertility rate of American citizens is 1.6. With the influx of the Latino nations, the rate increases to 2.11, the bare minimum required to sustain a culture. In 1970, there were 100,000 Muslims in America. Today, there are over 9 million. The world is changing. It's time to wake up. 3 years ago, a meeting of 24 Islamic organizations was held in Chicago. The transcripts of that meeting showed in detail their plans to evangelize America through journalism, politics, education, and more. They said, "We must prepare ourselves for the reality that in 30 years, there will be 50 million Muslims living in America. The world that we live in is not the world in which our children and grandchildren will live." The Catholic Church recently reported that Islam has just surpassed their membership numbers. Some studies show that at Islam's current rate of growth, in 5 to 7 years, it will be the dominant religion of the world. As believers, we call upon you to join the effort to share the gospel message with the changing world. This is a call to action.
Anyone want to say something? How do you feel about the video? Okay, it's happening everywhere. It's happening. You just imagine our children, our grandchildren. They are going to live in a very, very different, environment. I don't know how. They're just saying that, are we ready for that? Jesus is willing to die and then purchase men for God with his blood. And the Bible says from every tribe. Do you know the Islamic word they apply and implement this very idea much better than a lot of Christian thought? When I was in Malaysia, of course that's nothing new to me, but the fact that Malaysian Muslims, they have good strategy to go into different tribes and try to convert them, become Muslim. So I mentioned here that Orang Asli is a tribe in Malaysia in the jungle area. The government will send in people, care for them, give them money to improve their living situation and put a mosque there. Even the whole village there is no Muslim at all, and they will persuade the headman of the village and saying that become Muslim is good, and try to explain to them, and then eventually they will send young men in or young women to the villages, befriend those people, and end up they get married. According to the astrology saying, it doesn't matter the women or the men in the village or in, from the tribe, they like it or not, doesn't matter. Or whether the Muslim like the men or the women they are going to marry, doesn't matter. They say our strategy is we are going to produce a lot of Muslim. Do you understand me? Because all the children will automatically become Muslim. We are going to convert the whole tribe just through marriage. I mean, that's one of their strategies. That's happening in Malaysia, in a lot of places. So, brother and sister, this is a spiritual battle. When we talk about world mission, we are not talking about just head knowledge, Bible knowledge. We are talking about the reality is happening up there, even around us. So what are we going to do? I saw the report from Malaysia saying that those young men go in, they just ask, anyone want to marry me, I'll give you, you know, a good number of money. And then some of them feel like, okay, what do you offer besides money? Okay, you can come with me and stay in a bigger city, then you have better life. And a lot of the tribal people, they never been to city. They were excited. And their strategy make it very clear, it doesn't matter, you know, whether the marriage work or not, but all the offspring will become Muslim. And that is how they do it. In East Malaysia, West Malaysia, Indonesia, a lot of places, they are using the same strategy over and over again. Why Jesus Christ died and purchased men from God, for God from every tribe? Are we Christians take it seriously? While Islamic world take it very seriously. Are we losing our battle? If we lose our battle, not because our God is not powerful. It's sometimes when we read the Bible, for some reason, we didn't realize there is a message there. There is a commission there. We need to work harder on it. And how hard do we work on it? You see, with this spiritual battle, Jesus, how he worked so hard for it. Just imagine. It's nothing new to all of us. Jesus left the heaven and he comes to this earth. Leaving our comfort zone is not easy. Just talk to our brothers and sisters here, whoever thinking of going to mission. The fact that we are going to leave our comfort zone is not easy. I had a very mixed feeling the other day, Tuesday night, when the plane landed in Colombia area. When I walk out the plane, I say, wow, this is a nice place. You know why? We got around 3 showers when we were in Hong Kong, just sweat and sweat and sweat. It's not very hot, but so humid. So humid. In Singapore, for some reason, the place we stayed with air condition, but cannot use it. And I was just feeling like, wow, how can I survive? I mean, I'm from Malaysia, so it's nothing new to me. But just saying that, when you leave your comfort zone, the place you get used to, and you are leaving it for another environment, maybe different, maybe better or worse, whatever, but it's not our used environment. It's not comfort. To change our living, you know, habit, it's not comfortable. So those young couple in front of us, they are thinking of going to mission field. Ruth is going to mission field. I just say, praise the Lord. You know, it's not easy. But without going to the tribe, without going to the people, without going to the nation, how can they know about Jesus? So that's why Jesus take it very seriously. He just said bye and then came to this earth. That is not easy. Every time I go home, my mom is kind of, you know, very weak and not very, you know, just not very active in her mind also. So sometimes she forgot But every time, I have hard time to say goodbye to her. Just every time. You know, it's not easy to be away. To not be with your like extended family. I mean, of course, we have loved one here, but we also have loved family member there. It's not always easy. But for the sake of the spiritual battle, we need to learn to obey as Jesus. What he has done, he knows that this is the most important thing. So he comes to this war, and then he is willing to die. He is willing to use, you know, his blood to purchase men for God. That is something that we need to remind ourselves all the time as Christian. What do we mean by Christian? Coming to church is very important. Reading the Bible is very important. Pray for church, pray for ourselves, pray for our friends is very important. But maybe that's not exactly enough. We need to think about how Jesus looked at the world and responds. So brother and sister, this is so important because every time when I thought about Jesus, I think about Jesus, how he feel about what is the most important. And that's so important that he is willing to die, to give up his life. And that's something that I would like to do. That's something that I would like to do. Away from home. Away from home. How much are we willing to give up? When you move, what do you bring? And that you think is essential. Somebody has to bring his or her pillow. Because without that particular pillow, cannot sleep. I mean, it's very true to some people. Just not used to sleep in a hotel or any other's bed. Away from home, how much are we willing to give up? Give up our right, give up for the Lord. And then the second thing is Jesus' word became flesh. It's nothing new. We know it. You know it, everybody know it. That's what Jesus did. He came, he is the truth, he is the word, and yet he became flesh. He came to this earth, limited himself, and then, you know, he suffered unnecessarily. I mean, if he is God, he won't suffer like he is when he came to this earth. He is 100% human, but also 100% God. It's so difficult for him. He is willing to come to this earth and take on the body of human and be limited in many ways. So brothers and sisters, are we willing to do it? When we talk about, you know, mission, like conference, when we talk about prayer for missionaries, and support mission organization or missionaries, or encourage people to go to the mission field. Consider this. Those who are not willing to be changed, to take the model of Jesus Christ, can hardly survive on the mission field. Occasionally I found a few people they can survive. That is amazing. You know, after 20 over years on a mission field, refuse to, you know, put on the local people's clothing. Refuse to eat as the local people eat. I don't understand. And some of them survive for more than 20 years. I don't know how they can do it, but I can't. Jesus, he think that, you know, bring the salvation to all the tribes. Every tribe, every language, every people, every nation is so important. Are we? So this is a spiritual battle. When we talk about, you know, the need of the world, not only the Muslim world, Islamic world, there are other, you know, world like Indian or animistic world or other, you know, Buddhism world. They all need the Lord. Who is willing to, you know, take the model of Jesus Christ as example and go and reach out to them. So when we look at the video, we say, wow, this is a very shocking thing. If this is happening, what happened in another 20 or 50 years? What happened? I mean, are we praying hard to see things different? We are not trying to have a victory because we would like to have encourage China, I mean the Christian family to have more children. We are not going to do that. But are we going to reach out to them with love and share with them about Jesus Christ? This is a spiritual battle. A spiritual battle. And this trip, when I was in Asia, when I shared with them, many of them, they have Muslim friends, but they never thought of sharing the good news with them. Or maybe some of them they did, but they never know how to do it. So when we have time together, sharing together, and they start opening their eyes and gaining confidence, saying that, wow, maybe we can do something. The church of Christ need to wake up. Because Jesus, you know, take it very seriously. And he wants us, as his church, his children, take it very seriously. So, I say the greatest missionary is Jesus Christ. We may not be great missionary, but we can be obedient children of God. It's so important. And Jesus Christ's sacrificial love, that is something that is so important. You know, when we talk about away from home or the world become fresh or sacrificial love, all those is our inner so-called battle. We need to, you know, conquer our self-egoness. We quite often we think about ourselves more than God, more than church, more than what we can do for Him. We need to learn how to really, you know, willingly lay down our life and sacrifice whatever for the Lord, for our Lord. This is the spiritual battle, and this is the end time. We don't have a lot of time to just make things a little bit better, make our life a little bit more comfortable. That is important, but that is not, should be our ultimate goal for our life. So let's pray hard. Say, Jesus, you are the example as the greatest missionary, and I would like to serve you. Teach me, help me, so that I can be like Jesus. And be like Jesus means what? Means prepare to suffer. Means prepare to be slain, and also to shed your blood and use your blood probably to exchange. People have the opportunity to know about Jesus. This is not an easy thing. Have you read the book called Radical? Anyone? Good. Anyone else? I have extra copy in my office. If you like, you know, if you like to take the challenge, read the first chapter or two. You don't need to read the whole book. The pastor was saying, basically, we Christian, what we need to do is simple. Just follow the Bible. What the Bible says, we do it. We believe, we trust, and we do it. And see how God is going to, you know, change our life, how God is going to work through our life. That's very challenging. And it is true. Every time when I read the Bible, I just put the Bible down and cross my eyes and say, God, I heard you saying, help me. Because I want to do as what you say. Because His word is the light. You know, it shows our way, direct our path. And that's why we need Jesus. We don't need Jesus. We need Jesus not only because we need salvation to go to heaven, but we need Jesus so that we can be His testimony, His witnesses, His missionary, apostle. We can reach out to other people. So, when I look at the Malaysian case, you know, we see the Muslim, they go into the villages and they try to bring those people from darkness to darkness. They are going nowhere. we have a mission. We need to willingly go into them and bring them from darkness to light. And that is not easy. That is not easy. If you remember Zheng Hing and Winnie, they were in that meeting when the police came, surround the whole church. There was CIU graduate. We need to pray for them because we don't know what else will happen. Because there were 28 Muslim believers in that meeting. That's against the law. And the church can be closed down. And all those who involved in that meeting can put in jail. We don't know what will happen. But with Paul, Jun Hing and Winnie, they were so you know, willingly just, you know, go for it, no matter what happened. That's really touching my heart. We need people like this. And yet when they face these kind of challenges, please pray for them that God will protect them. So we are going into a spiritual battle that not only if we are willing, but we need to prepare to be suffer because of our willingness. How can we bring people from darkness to light? Follow the example of Jesus Christ. There is no shortcut in many situations. We need to go. We need to let go a lot of things. We need to be there to share the good news with them. So please, as a church, you know, we would like to emphasize more and more about world mission. Let's think about how can we do? How can I myself be part of it? Not just gaining more knowledge from the Bible or from other theologians. Let's ask God, what can I do for you? So let's bow and pray, and you ask yourself, and then you pray to God. And then I will give the time back to Pastor Tom.